Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The FDA bans what could be life-saving drugs in Florida. The Florida Department of Health said it was closing its monoclonal antibody treatment sites this week after the Food and Drug Administration restricted their use. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis condemned the FDA's move and said 2,000 appointments were canceled on Tuesday alone.
The number of the people that seek this treatment are overwhelmingly people that have been vaccinated, but yet they're still infected, and many of them are high risk.
DeSantis said the decision to suspend the use of Regeneron and Eli Lilly monoclonal antibody treatments was made abruptly without clinical data. After 7 years, a SpaceX rocket is on a collision course with the moon after hurling through space. The booster was originally launched from Florida in February 2015, but after completing a long burn of its engines and sending a satellite off, the rocket's second stage became derelict, and here we are. An impact should happen March 4th. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Soft on crime is being blamed on the uptick of violence in Houston, Texas.
Crime Stoppers of Houston claims more than 150 Harris County residents have been killed by suspects released on bond since 2018. Houston Councilman Michael Kobosch blames the judges who are giving affordable bonds to these offenders on Fox News.
The judges aren't taking in consideration the violent criminal history of these offenders, and they're releasing them back into the community on either an extremely low bond or a taxpayer-funded free bond without any supervision. They go right back into the community.
Harris County settling a lawsuit back in 2019 that accused the county of discriminating against poor defendants. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The National Football League is down to the Final Four. Two games on Sunday will determine the Super Bowl matchup. USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No changes on the Russia-Ukraine border overnight. State Department spokesman Ned Price at a press conference Tuesday.
What the areas where diplomacy and dialogue may prove fruitful and viable, and the areas that are just non-starters. The Russians have held out one criterion, and that is their demands when it comes to NATO and open door, and we've been very clear about that. But we have also been very clear about specific areas, whether it's the placement of offensive missiles, whether it is transparency, whether it is exercises, whether it is broader arms control measures, where if done on a reciprocal basis, there is the potential to enhance collective transatlantic and broader security. Those are areas where we've been very clear that we're willing to engage in dialogue. We have been consistently transparent with all of you, just as we have conveyed this very clearly and consistently.
A Wisconsin appeals court on Monday reinstated absentee ballot drop boxes for the state's February primary after a lower court ruled that the boxes could not be used in the state. A Waukesha County judge on January 13th said that absentee ballots can be returned via mail or in person, but that under state law, drop boxes are not allowed. The state's election commission asked the 4th District Court of Appeals to block the ruling, saying it may cause voter confusion and uncertainty. Opponents of drop boxes claim they are ripe for voter fraud. USA Radio News.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. We've got Mark Levin. That's Mark with a C. And he joins us, and we're going to be talking about the homicide counts in major American cities that have continued to climb in 2021. In just all the polls, no matter what you do, crime is either one or two in terms of primary concern for voters, for American citizens today. It has gone so amok. Mark, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. Mark, are you there? Okay. I guess did we lose connection with him? Okay, we'll call him back. After all that big pomp and circumstance here, again, the homicide counts in major American cities have continued to climb in 2021, but the pace of the increase did slow. I guess maybe there's a little bit of news, but, more and more it's being reported in all these major cities. What's been happening? Police shootings, innocents being shot, 6-month-old I was just seeing this morning. That was murdered. I mean, another child. It's just so out of control. Hey, Mark, welcome back. Good to have you back with us. How are you?
Good. Sorry we're not here talking about something more cheerful, but it's really sobering and troubling, and we need to do something about this.
Exactly. Well, and this is something that, the Democrats, the Biden administration doesn't want to talk about, but people are living with the reality just like they are with inflation. You know, the administration say, well, it doesn't exist. Well, they know when they go and see empty shelves and they're paying more at the gas. I mean, reality speaks loud and clear. And what's happening in major cities across the country, I mean, every day it's like a casualty count. Crime is running amok, and of course, all the fingers are pointing towards all these, progressive woke DAs that want to do nothing about the crime in their cities.
Well, we just released a report today on the homicide rate and also looking at other crimes in 2021. And, of course, as you know, there was a huge upsurge starting with the pandemic and in the middle of 2020. Basically, we saw about a 20% increase in homicides. And what our report found in 2021 was increase of about 5%. So, yes, we're slowing the rate of increase, but no one can find that to be acceptable. I remember when that was kind of the parlance in federal budget discussions, we're slowing the rate of increase of the national debt, but we need to actually turn this around. There are several cities that did see a decline, like Phoenix and Seattle in 2021 in homicides, but the vast majority of major cities saw homicides, albeit at a lower rate of increase, but continued to go up. And, of course, we've also seen an increase in carjackings, for example, in general in assaults with guns. We have seen a decrease in burglaries and in drug crimes. But when you talk about obviously the crimes that people care the most about, homicide, it's really an alarm bell for all of us. Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, what happened in these cities where it went down? Did they run out of bullets or something, or did the cities actually decide to do something about the crime and violence there?
Well, I mean, there could be a lot of different explanations. I think part of it is the just obviously such a high level in the, you know, basically the three quarters of 2020 that you're starting from a really high point already. But the, you know, one of the cities that's seen some progress actually is Dallas just in the last 6 months or so. And they did increase the presence of police. They have more police, but increased their presence in particular areas. You know, violence is very concentrated. If you look on the map of Chicago, which I just did, I mean, there was an 8-year-old, as you know, who was just shot there over the weekend, six others killed, and then a lot of non-fatal shootings, which are really don't get the attention they deserve either. You obviously can end up with a brain injury, and they're also linked to later seeing fatal shootings in the same area. So the but what they've done in Dallas is, you know, combine the law enforcement presence with also dealing with some environmental issues like getting rid of abandoned buildings, better street lighting. I mean, those sorts of things. And
just, you know, some common sense things. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, public safety is something we all deserve as citizens. And it's people that obviously a disproportionate share of these crimes are occurring in the poorest areas. And if government can't deliver public safety, then what do we have government for?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's why we pay our taxes, right? Number one is public safety. And that's the number one job of the president, for example, as well, when you go all the way on down the top. I mean, to say what you want to do. See, the thing is that bothers me a little bit, Mark, about some of the percentages is, like you said, we started at such a high level to begin with. So when you add 5% on top of a higher level, it may not seem as bad. But, you know, when you look at the raw numbers, I mean, you've got a lot of people still, you know, falling into the net here of murders and crime in that, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, if people are not, don't feel like they can go out at night or their children can play in the park, I mean, it's hard to measure what that does to somebody's quality of life. And then, of course, you talk about areas that need, you know, economic development. Well, who's going to open a business if you feel like you're in a war zone? So,
exactly.
I think it has a lot of consequences for just people's everyday life and their emotional state. And, you know, I think that you know, as people hopefully want to get out more, and, of course, we've had during the lockdowns, domestic violence rose 8%, which, you know, is another thing that's important. But people want to be able to be out on the street and to go back to doing what they were doing before. And this, you know, living in fear is an obstacle to that.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and, you know, the thing is, there's no big surprise here, Mark, is that the vision that was cast by these progressive DAs, by the Democrats and the President of the United States, was a very liberal perspective about security. You know, let's defund the police. And of course, now here, what, yesterday, Jen Psaki said, oh, you know, that, the President has always been, you know, for police and funding police and that sort of thing. That's disingenuous. That's not true. I mean, we've got enough video evidence and documentation that the Democrats and the president, along with them, have sided with these visionaries that, you know, thought that there needed to be a reimagining of law enforcement. Well, how do you like this imagining come true nightmare that's hitting the streets of America today?
Well, you know, and I think there's a lot of misunderstandings. For example, you know, if you take money from police, then you can't do the type of training that's needed. And if you don't have enough people on the police force, then how are you going to have someone in training that day when you need to maximize every single person on the street? And, you know, I think that police, particularly as they target those areas that have the high crime rates, particularly violent crime, you know, they need to be able to have the time to build relationships with members of the community.
Oh, without a doubt, sure.
You know,
well, yeah,
a movement not to snitch, you know, and that's,
right.
That's why when you don't, when you have one person who commits a robbery or a murder or whatever, then you don't get the information on that crime, that person can continue on that spree. And I think that's what we're seeing is some of these crimes, one person can be responsible for a lot of crimes before they ever get caught, if they do get caught. We're solving less than half of homicides. We used to solve 70 or 80% of homicides.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a huge change right there. And if that doesn't tell the criminals that, you know, just like illegal immigrants, I mean, there's no accountability. You can get away with it. In this case, get away with murder here in the United States. Who can imagine? Mark Levin is with us, Chief Policy Counsel at the Council on Criminal Justice. And we'll continue our conversation after this. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hey, we're back with you. Bill Martinez here. Mark Levin continues with us. He's the Chief Policy Counsel at the Council on Criminal Justice. Mark, you know, talk about reimagining. I have been insisting, you know, as a theme, that the country has to consider getting back to first principles, and especially when it has to do with law and order. You can't have order without law. It's hand in glove. And when you have such a breakdown of, you know, the concept of law and order, you have the manifestation of this chaos that's running rampant in America. And you wonder, okay, how much worse does it have to get before there's enough intestinal fortitude to do something about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I think, I like the phrase ordered liberty because, you know, we all believe in our constitutional freedoms and liberties, but we also realize that has to occur against the backdrop of the idea that if you harm other people, then that's where the core role of government is to intervene to remedy that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you can't undo violent crime, unfortunately, but you could make, you know, perpetrator of property crime pay restitution, for example. But, you know, it's also about obviously preventing crime and sending a message that there are certain standards in the community. And, you know, I think particularly at this time when you have a lot of kids that are not returning to school, you know, after schools were closed, if you look historically, that ends up leading to delinquency over, right. you know, and end up being involved in the adult you know, prison system. So I think we have to, you know, basically, as you said, say that, you know, the expectations are that people are going to follow the law and that obviously there has to be accountability. Obviously, we need treatment also for people with mental health and substance use issues, but but you have to have the right balance and you can't lose sight of the role of accountability.
Well, our operations, our justice operations are so overwhelmed right now, especially in the era of COVID. Courts are overwhelmed with the number of cases. They're backlogged on. Every city you go to, they'll tell you there's thousands of cases to be adjudicated. And so what's happening is just by virtue of the numbers, these justices and judges are making decisions based on, you know, trying to manage the flow and the backlog. And so what's going on is the very thing that we don't need to have, and that is there's a laxness or you know, let's excuse this. This is just a minor crime. Don't worry about restitution here. We just need to get it. We're just not going to bog the court down with it. You got judges getting upset with district attorneys for bringing these cases, and they're just saying, hey, look, we just, you know, this is a crime. This needs to be, get it out of here, and if you do that again, you're going to be held in contempt, and, you know, all kinds of threat to these district attorneys as well. This dynamic has taken place, and I don't know when we get on the other side of it, but basically what I'm hearing from you, Mark, is that we need to kind of go back and maybe embrace as a country what Giuliani did with, you know, with New York, with broken windows, you know, the little things. If you do the little things, then the big things will take care of themselves, so to speak. What do you say?
Well, you know, I think if there's graffiti on a wall, right, someone else is going to be more likely to add graffiti to it. There's, and, you know, there's also research showing that when they announced a Homeland Security alert in Washington, D.C., and said there's going to be, you know, 50% more cops in this particular, you know, neighborhood, the number of street crimes went down, auto thefts and so forth. So if, you know, people think anything goes in terms of the atmosphere in that neighborhood, it's going to kind of reinforce itself. And likewise, if people think there's no prospect of being caught, that's going to embolden many individuals. So I think the but you're absolutely right also on the courts, Claude, that, for example, in Seattle, a judge said even if all nonviolent cases were thrown out, it would take 13 years to clear the logjam of cases. Wow. And I know here I'm in Houston, we have the same we have years of felony cases backlogged. And so that means a lot of things, but it certainly means that there's not any, you know, near or medium term prospect of accountability. It also means that typically, even if people, you have someone who is, it's a relatively minor crime, and let's say they should be going into some type of rehabilitation for drug, alcohol, mental health, that traditionally in the system comes after you're adjudicated. But what some places are moving that up to now as a pretrial intervention, because the pretrial period actually could be a year, 2 years.
Right, exactly.
So that's one of the, and then of course the other thing is we have done here in Houston and some other areas are doing is visiting judges, bring retired judges back, you know, ramp up the capacity so we can get these cases resolved. We owe it to the victims. We actually owe it to the defendants too, because there's a speedy trial constitutional imperative as well.
Oh yeah, by the way, exactly. Mark, I wanted to talk to you, you know, we touched a little bit on the open borders, but one of the pernicious aspects of open borders has been the increasing influx of opioids and meth into the country. Fentanyl, I mean, its lethality is so incredible. I mean, there was a story that I heard from a suffering parent whose child, had an injury, a back injury, and goes to the doctor and they say, okay, just take some, extra strength Tylenol. She couldn't get on top of the pain. And a well-meaning friend says, look, I got a pill here. Just, take this. This will, take the pain away. Well, it took the pain away and her life because it was laced with fentanyl. Didn't know it. Neither one of them were aware of it. But this is the kind of stuff that has deposited into the bloodstream in a general context, but also into, these pharmaceuticals that are coming in illegally into the country.
Yes, and as you know, since the pandemic started and the related restrictions, there have been more overdoses. You're absolutely right, a lot of the fentanyl is coming through the border with Mexico, and some of it's from China originally.
Yes,
I think it's really important to make sure that we get people, services, whether it's, basically being able to just come forward and say, I have a loved one who needs treatment. And, the medication assisted treatment combined with, traditional counseling, if you use both of them together, the results are pretty impressive. And I think the access is an issue, particularly in a number of rural areas. Actually, it could take a long time, hours for someone to be transported for, treatment for an overdose. So, people coming out of jail is another problem. There's a lot of times people, theoretically, there should be drugs in jail, but the data tells a very different story. So people are still addicted when they come out of jail. And then, many times more likely to have an overdose in the, literally the week or two since they left jail. So we need to follow up and with them and try to prevent that. Some of them are giving people kits when they leave for overdose reversal. Obviously that's challenging because, right, you don't want to in any way endorse this type of drug use. But on the other hand, if somebody already has a record of that, we know there's a lot of relapses. So I think we're in a very, bad position regarding this. But ultimately, people need, you have to address people's relationships, things in their life that cause them to turn to drugs to begin with. And for many
right.
people, faith-based programs could be helpful, solving some family issues and obviously, hopefully, reintegrating into the workforce. So you have to have a holistic approach to changing somebody's life.
Well, you need something immediate as well, because we know that people who are addicted, I mean, there is such a pull, it just grabs a hold of them in such a way that they got to have it now. I mean, the sense of urgency is, and everything is out. It's just, I've got to take care of this urge. If I don't, it drives them crazy. So that they're motivated to move in that direction. And, we talked about how the courts are overloaded. Hospitals are overloaded. They can't even deal with this. I mean, they're out of patience. And I'm not talking about patience people. I'm just talking about patience, the sentimentality, the sympathy and empathy that's needed to take care of people who are messed up. They've made some bad choices, but they need compassion, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, tons of cops are actually, reversing overdoses with Narcan.
Yeah, I know.
Helping lives in a lot of ways, pulling people out of, dangerous situations. So, I mean, I think we have to kind of, as you said, an all hands on deck approach.
Well, and I love your term ordered liberty. That that's my big takeaway with our conversation today. I'm going to be using the heck out of that. Mark Levin, Chief Policy Counsel at the Council on Criminal Justice. Thank you, Mark. Take care.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. If someone had told Reverend Byers that his vision for global missions would not only survive 75 years, but also share the gospel in multiple languages and countries on three different continents, he might not have believed it. We praise God for the longevity of the Tide Ministry, and we're grateful that we get to be part of God's mission to save his lost children. Looking ahead to the future, we've unrolled our Diamond Vision
Vision Plan, which highlights five key features for potential growth. Many listeners request Bibles and Christian literature so they can learn more about Jesus. The third Diamond Vision facet is Solidify, which defines how we will develop and supply more resources to help new believers to grow in their faith and live in right relationship with God. To learn more about the Tide Ministry's goal to improve the sustainability and strength of our strategies and structures for the discipleship of new believers, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The FDA bans what could be life-saving drugs in Florida. The Florida Department of Health said it was closing its monoclonal antibody treatment sites this week after the Food and Drug Administration restricted their use. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis condemned the FDA's move and said 2,000 appointments were canceled on Tuesday alone.
The number of the people that seek this treatment are overwhelmingly people that have been vaccinated, but yet they're still infected, and many of them are high risk.
DeSantis said the decision to suspend the use of Regeneron and Eli Lilly monoclonal antibody treatments was made abruptly and without clinical data. After 7 years, a SpaceX rocket is on a collision course with the moon after hurling through space. The booster was originally launched from Florida in February 2015, but after completing a long burn of its engines and sending a satellite off, the rocket's second stage became derelict, and here we are. An impact should happen March 4th. USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey, we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Joe Kent is our next guest. He is the husband of Senior Chief Petty Officer Shannon Kent. You may recall he was killed in action on the 16th of January 2019 while conducting combat operations against ISIS in Manjbij, Syria. Shannon was assigned to Special Operations Task Force at the time of her death. She was a trailblazer for women in the special operations community, began her career with an individual augmentation deployment to Iraq in support of a special operations task force in 2007. During that deployment, she provided SEAL strike forces with actionable intelligence to kill and capture enemy terrorists. Her performance on that deployment earned her an invitation to try out for Naval Support Activity 2, what they call SA2. Which is an elite unit led by SEALs and manned by intelligence professionals tasked with providing SEAL teams with actionable intelligence. And Joe himself is a retired Green Beret warrant officer, a Gold Star husband, of course, and we're going to be talking about Russia and the Ukrainian border in just a moment as soon as we connect with him. We're having a little bit of a challenge getting to the studio, another number that we can possibly connect with him because he was expecting our call. So we can have him on to talk about, you know, what's happening at the Ukrainian border with Russia. There's so many moving parts here. And, you know, the president has about 8,000 readied soldiers prepared. They're on high alert. In case something happens, people are saying at any moment, although the president of Ukraine, officials of Ukraine are saying it's okay, it's not that serious, you know, that they feel like they have it under control as much as they can have under control. And reports are that not a whole lot has changed. You still have 100,000 plus Russians there at the border is quite threatening, to say the least. And meanwhile, officials, personnel from the U.S. have been told, you know, to get out of there. And, certainly we don't want another Afghanistan situation where Americans are left behind. And there is some talk that perhaps Putin is waiting until after the Olympic Games, which I think is an interesting conversation in and of itself. Joe Kent joins us now. Joe, welcome back. Good to have you on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for having me back on.
Well, in this time that we were trying to get you on the air with us, I was able to, recount your history, your wife's history. Last time you and I talked, you're a single dad and you've had your hands full with your kids and your family. Bless your heart. God bless you that your heart is service, first as a Green Beret warrant officer, now as a candidate running for Congress.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just the full scope of what's going on in our country right now, I really just can't sit here and hand this country over to my children in good faith, especially after all that they've been through. So that's why I'm in this fight right now.
Yeah, it is amazing, Joe, that we find ourselves, boy, we never thought in a lifetime we would be in a situation where chaos would be reigning so incredibly, and that we would have elected officials that would seem to want to promote more chaos as opposed to less.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, Biden's only been in office now for about a year, and just look how far we've fallen. I mean, from, foreign affairs, everything that happened with Afghanistan, to the crisis brewing in Ukraine, all the way to bare shelves in our grocery stores, something I never thought that I would see here in America, to the chaos on our streets, the lack of law and order, our economy's in shambles, COVID still being exploited against Americans here in Washington State. We have draconian vaccine mandates. The kids are still being forced into masks in schools. So it's a we're up against a lot, but I'm optimistic because I do think a lot of regular Americans who either checked out of politics or have just never been engaged before, they understand what the stakes are. And so I think we're getting ready to take our country back in a very big way.
Well, Joe, we've got to re-embrace, I keep saying, with first principles and these founding documents like the Declaration of Independence that really laid the formula for a successful government. And it starts with we the people. We the people who checked out, we disengaged. And so what has taken over is this administrative state, these unelected bureaucrats that have taken hold of our country and have gotten their hands into our treasury and taken care of themselves at our expense. And what have they done for us? They've just continued to bloat this government and put us in peril to where, democracy here in the United States, we're really, I don't mean to make it sound so dire, but I do mean to make it sound so dire, is we're at a brink here, aren't we?
No, we certainly are. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. A while back, we stopped teaching just basic civics and really just reinforcing to our children in schools why this country is unique, that this is the only country in the history of man that really has guaranteed God-given rights. The government doesn't give us any rights. These rights are inherent to us, given to us by our Creator, and our government is designed to be of the people to defend those rights. I think we've slipped far from that, and for far too long, I mean, really in my lifetime, life has been really good here in America, and so I think a lot of people just checked out from that, and the slow creep through our institutions left it to take away our first principles being taught in our schools, and then now you fast forward, and we have this situation where COVID really lets the left exploit all of their wildest desires to give the government more and more power. I think people started to see towards the end of the Obama era that really this whole idea of government intrusions and then really this globalist idea of shipping our manufacturing overseas and fighting endless wars wasn't working out for us. And Trump really spoke to, hey, the American people are not getting their fair share. And let's flip that on its head. And when Trump won, we saw what you pointed out, the administrative state and their running dogs in the corporate media, their corporate running dogs in Wall Street really turned against President Trump in a way that I think we had never seen or expected before leading up to the 2020 election. So now I think we can clearly see the battlefield, that there's really two sides. There's one side that wants complete and total control of your life, and then there's the rest of us that want to fight with everything that we have for liberty.
Exactly. And that's what has become quite obvious in this great reveal. I knew that Donald Trump started the pullback of the curtain of this administrative state, the deep state, and people began to see it. But even more so now that Biden, maybe we needed Trump, sadly, to leave so that people could really see how bad it was. And, you know, and here we are. I mean, it's amazing to think that, I guess the deal is the only way that Joe Biden could be president and the Democrats win the way they did was they had to cheat to do it. There's just no other explanation, Joe. I mean, that somebody who ran a campaign out of his basement somehow could garner 10 million more votes than an iconic black president. And Donald Trump, you know, got, what, 10 million more votes than he did previously, and he still loses with an economy that was robust. Yes, we were dealing with COVID, but all the great things they did, this doesn't make sense. And, you know, people ask me, go, Bill, do you believe that that this was a legitimate election? I said, you know, the sad answer is I don't. And because I don't think it's incumbent on me to change my mind and to force fit my thinking into an unreal and an incomprehensible outcome in order to, you know, go along with the thought that somehow Joe Biden was, you know, rightfully elected. I'm sorry. I don't have proof, and I don't have confidence that that was the case. Is that okay?
Oh, I totally agree. I think you're 100% right. I mean, if you just look at the way things were going in 2020, the Democrats didn't even run a campaign. They weren't attempting to even win the election at the ballot box to win over the American people. They were doing everything they could in their own words. I'll just use their own words to fortify the election. I mean, they've laid it out. They've bragged about it on the pages of Time magazine, all the different things they did to really stack the deck in their favor, rig the election, I think is a really proper way to put it, because that's what they did. They concentrated on how many people they could get to vote, even if that wasn't legal, and then who counted the vote. I mean, Joe Biden says that himself. Who counts the
vote? Yeah, I know, exactly. That was amazing.
Yeah.
He channeled Stalin. He channeled Stalin's own words. He said, I don't care who votes. I care who counts the votes, right?
Yeah, and that's why we can't back down on what happened in November of 2020. When we take back the House, we take back the Senate, one of the first things we have to do is obviously impeach Joe Biden, but after that, we have to have a full inquiry.
We got more from Joe Katz. Stay with us.
Pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable.
Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Joe Kent feels the same way I do, and this song really really embraces our sentiment, and that is that's our words of encouragement to all Americans. Don't give up hope. I mean, this is a country that was founded on godly principles, and we have that that capacity. It's not like we have to create it all over again. This is part of our DNA. It's part of our heritage. We just have to return to it, don't we, Joe? I mean, it's not like we're sitting here fresh with a clean sheet of paper, you know, like the founding fathers and the early revolutionaries that thought, well, I think this seems like a viable idea. I think this could work. Look, we've had almost 250 years of this working, you know, for the most part, good, bad, and everything else in between. But we've had enough experience, as I tell my kids, to define preference. And there's a lot of great ideas and foundational principles that are a part of this great American experiment, aren't there?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, we are not the descendants of weak, timid men who would have their freedom taken away. I mean, our history and our legacy is that of men that fought very, very hard, you know, throughout the world and right here at home to give us this country that we have right now. And I think most people can see that the left and really just this corporate globalist establishment wants to take it away from us. And so I think it's time for us to just really get back into those founding documents and our first principles and think, hey, like, this is on us. We could lose this freedom that we have. We could lose this country that we have in our lifetime if we don't act right now. But I think the momentum and the tide is turning. I think more people are coming over our side. I tell conservatives and Republicans all the time that, hey, if you're discouraged about everything we just talked about before the break with the way the last election went, don't take the bait. Stay invested. The left wants at least half of us to stop voting and lose faith in the system, because then they don't even have to steal it or rig it anymore if we just stop showing up. Or they want us to be so angered. Or they want us to become so angered. They're trying to provoke us right now. That's what a lot of what the Biden administration is doing. They want us to be so angered we stay or do something foolish, and then they can turn the security state on us. So the last thing they want us doing is being motivated, happy, getting the word out, and taking our country back peacefully and patriotically.
Exactly. You know, Joe, what comes to thought here as you were talking is that you imagine, you know, legal immigrants who've come to the country. Some have been waiting in line for decades to, you know, be a part of this great American experiment. They've seen it from a distance. They've lived in all kinds of hell themselves in their home country, sadly, and out of desperation. I'm not talking about people that have invaded our southern border. I'm talking people who have come in. You know, legally, up until last year, we allowed roughly 1 million legal immigrants to come in. that came in, they didn't rely on the government for sustenance. They had to make sure that they were sponsored and that they would not be any liability on any community that they would attend to. I mean, you know, quite in contrast to what's happening right now with the illegal immigrants being shipped around in dark at night. And then, of course, the recent report that we had all these male adults being shipped into the interior of our country, the administration wants to believe something else. But my thought is for these immigrants who came here legally, you know, to see, you know, after all that they've gone through, to see that their hope is slipping away, possibly, I got to imagine that this is tragic for them.
Yeah, some of those powerful conversations I've had since I've become a candidate has been with people that escaped either, you know, former Soviet bloc countries or folks mm-hmm. that have escaped the Chinese Communist Party or some folks from South America who've gotten here. They waited in line. They did their time because they knew that America was really the last hope for humanity. So they risked everything to come here. And to listen to them discuss what's happened really since COVID, what's happened with the slow march through the institutions, the way the critical race theory is being weaponized against the American people, they know what's going on. I think a lot of this is foreign to Americans who haven't traveled a lot or really haven't experienced this in our lives. But if you talk to some of these recent immigrants, the ones that came over and escaped communist countries, they can tell you exactly what's going on. And they're some of the hardest fighters we have in our movement right now because they know where this ends. This ends in totalitarianism. This ends in some of the darkest chapters in the history of humanity. So I would encourage everybody to really just reach out and talk to some of these recent immigrants. Most of them are happy to tell you what's happening right now. And there's a reason why they're on our side.
Well, exactly. And, you know, last year when there was a revolt about what was going on in Cuba, you know, and of course we saw a demonstration in Miami with the Cuban, the Cuban population based out of there. And my suggestion was, you know, Miami's always known for its spring break, right? I said that we should bus our kids into Miami to talk to these immigrants down there at Calle Ocho in Miami and get the truth of communism and socialism. And they'll give it to them straight. You know, I said, we could just have a big street party out there and just have people talk story and wake kids up. This would be the best history education that they could ever have, you know, from people that have experienced it for themselves firsthand, right? And to your point.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic idea. I agree. I mean, I think the Cuban American community, especially down there in Miami, the Miami-Dade County, when that flipped to President Trump in this last election, I think that opened up a lot of eyes. But the Cuban Americans, they had seen this. This is what they fled their country for, and they know what's happening here. And so, yeah, that's a great insight they could have. And they're strong, some of our strongest advocates in our movement right now.
Exactly. I want to get back to the Ukrainian border and Putin's endgame here. How do you analyze this? What do you see happening, ultimately?
Well, really, I mean, Putin can just smell weakness, you know, and so he's also been heavily enabled, not just due to all the corruption in the Biden administration, but he saw how weak we are on the world stage in Afghanistan. And then also Putin knows Joe Biden. He knows the full scope of his failures throughout the policy, foreign policy realm for his whole career. So
Joe, just to interrupt you real quick. Putin, I'm sure, has a legitimate dossier on Biden, that which was manufactured against Donald Trump by the Clinton campaign, right?
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, if we got a hold of Hunter's laptop and we saw that, imagine what a real operative like Vladimir Putin has. So, yeah, he probably has a legitimate compromise on him. But also, I mean, looking at the full scope of what we found on Hunter's laptop, I think that's accurate. But also Biden is just weak domestically, and he's really set the stage for this. When Biden came on, he killed off the Keystone XL pipeline, and that not only hurt us at the gas pump, but that put the price of Russian oil, that raised it, because that made their one commodity go way up. He let the Russians build the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline into Europe. He stopped cracking down on all the different NATO countries and our European allies from buying Russian oil. And so now Vladimir Putin is hyper-enabled. And the next thing you know, of course, Putin's going to ratchet up the tensions because he knows that Biden's weak, he's strong, but Biden's foreign policy team is absolutely incompetent. He knows that as well. And we have all the war hawks from the left and the right that want to find a new conflict because that's what they do in the military-industrial complex. But then Biden's political team is so callous and so cold. All they want to do is distract from all his failures at home, and they're willing to risk a war, a new war, with a nuclear superpower, just a distraction from what Biden's doing. And really, it's insane because they know that Biden is so doddering. They put him out there last week in an hour and a half long, you know, press conference. And yes. The national security state is saying if Vladimir Putin steps one pinky toe over the line, we're going to go to war up to and including, you know, nuclear options. But then Biden gets out there and says, well, maybe we'll tolerate some incursion. And this lack of clarity is exactly how we get into wars. This is basically how World War One started, our Gulf War with Saddam. We had the U.S. ambassador to Baghdad say that, hey, we really don't want to intercede in your inter-Arab border dispute. But the next thing you know, we're in a full war because of lack of clarity. And I think a lot of that's by design, by Biden's foreign policy team, because they really ultimately want Biden to be able to the one that, like, stood up to Putin. And they're going to use that as a narrative to shield from all the failures here. So we're in a very dangerous situation. And I want to see Congress act and demand a declaration of war or a authorization use of military force. This is where Congress could really come in and prevent a unnecessary war.
Yeah, to me, you know, part of the dynamic that took place was, you know, we shut down XL pipeline. We give him, he cancels the authorization, or he gives Russia, Putin, the authorization for Nord Stream. And here we are. I mean, we're one of the major buyers of Russian oil right now. And here we're supposedly trying to defend and sending, a couple $100 million worth of armament to Ukraine. But meanwhile, we're sending, you know, multiple millions of dollars to Russia and buying their oil. I mean, it's almost like we're on both sides of the border here there in Ukraine. You know, we're want to help Ukraine on one hand, and on the other hand, we're supplying, you know, the Russians with the ability. I mean, this is so absurd. And, you know, Joe, people aren't seeing this. I mean, you know, they're not connecting the dots, and I don't get it.
No, exactly. I mean, really, if we're to believe the national security state and the mainstream media's narrative that Russia is this massive threat, then my question is exactly, why haven't we taken diplomatic action? Why aren't we using our economic power? We're not doing any of that. The two things are completely out of sync, our economic and our diplomacy, combined in contrast to what our military industrial complex and national security state is recommending. So, I mean, I would encourage people to look at those dots. And then also just a basic question. Anytime any elected official says they want to use military force, they have to be able to clearly define what the U.S. vital national security interest is. And if they can't do it and explain it to the common man, then you know a scam is being run. And again, this is where the congressional oversight comes in. We cannot let a president from any party blindly march us into war. This is one of the main reasons that we just fought these rudderless 20-year endless wars that President Trump tried to actually get us out of. The thing is, Congress, when Trump tried to get us out of Afghanistan, Congress froze funding to prevent him from doing that. I would like to see Congress act as strongly as they did then to keep us in a war. I want to see them act that strongly to prevent us from sliding into a war.
Exactly. Good point. Joe Kent, retired Green Beret, warrant officer and candidate in your district there, in the 3rd District in Clark County, Washington State. Joe, thank you so much. Godspeed, my friend. Take care.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final.